owners of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Half of our families make their living fishing. The other half of our families make their living in the Gulf.
A seven-year-old boy cannot be a spy. A seven-year-old boy cannot be anything but a seven-year-old boy.
Well, we've been more than two times more of our tax dollars.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of people are packing up and leaving.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And welcome back. We're going to be next hour talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug's going to be talking with us about Helen Thomas. And I got Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along with me here. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And that's where we have live streaming video and audio of our show, as well as the archives of the show. I got to turn this down. There's something desperately wrong.
Well, what are you telling us?
What's who telling? Nobody's telling me anything. It sounds wrong. We had a couple of emails we wanted to read here tonight, and one of them you might find interesting. It's from Chris, one of our listeners in Mobile, Alabama. Chris is writing to say that a little over a week ago, he signed up to volunteer for beach cleanup down there because he said he grew up and spent a tremendous amount of time on the water and the beach. And the email goes on, "It almost breaks my heart to see this oil, but just to let you know, I've not been called back to help clean up, and I have plenty of time to volunteer. I'm willing to give my time. I don't want to get paid, and I told them this. I'm also certified by the state of Alabama for running a wastewater plant. I know it's not oil, but I do have some training in hazardous conditions and chemicals. If I don't hear anything by Friday, I'm going to just start on my own with some gloves and trash bags, picking up these tar balls. It was reported down here that a fellow picked up a 5-gallon bucket full of tar balls and took it to some of these guys that work for BP and that are getting paid. And they said it was not their job to take it, so the guy dumped it back on the beach and said, now it's your job, and walked away. They're supposed to be picking this stuff up. I've seen them, they sit under a tent most of the day, and if you tell them that there are some tar balls over there, they act like they get pissed off, and they finally go over there and pick them up. Sincerely, Chris, Mobile, Alabama." Well, you know, I that's the kind of email that would piss me off if I didn't also think this way, Chris. And I believe you, man. But I don't know that that's the case. You got to be fair about this stuff. You know, people will see something and say, this is the status quo. And I don't know that that's the status quo. But yeah, if I saw that, I'd be upset. But right now, while there is oil that is still leaking from this thing, and there's billowing, it's just this big billowing thing of oil under the water. It's this submerged oil that they're talking about. I mean, you can go down there and pick up tar balls until the cows come home, you know.
But when's that?
What do you mean, when's that?
Man, that's a figure of speech. But what does that mean, the cow came home?
It's a figure of speech about when the cows come home. You can pick up, in other words, forever.
Because the cows ain't coming home.
Because the cows ain't coming home, exactly. So you can go down there and you can pick up all the tar balls that you want, but the fact is that the oil is still being pumped out into the Gulf by this leak. And here's another question that I'm going to ask you guys, okay? You guys are so smart, always telling me how stupid I am, right?
Well, I mean, not always.
All right. Would you be buying a BP stock right now?
Yes. Why would you buy BP stock?
Because it's oil.
Wait a minute, man. Hold on. Why would you buy BP stock right now?
On account of its oil. It's a good investment.
Yeah, but BP is the one that's leaking the oil into the Gulf.
So?
So people hate their guts. So people don't want to have anything to do with them.
Well, what are you talking about?
Their stock has lost 40% of its value since this whole thing came down.
Yeah, man. Nobody want to be with BP because they figure they're going to be out of business.
They'll never be out. I'm going to buy it.
You're going to buy... You know something, man?
What?
I don't believe you. You don't even know why you want to buy BP stock.
Well, what would you do?
Well, my instinct was, yes, I would buy BP stock.
See?
Because I'm thinking clearly about it. You're just buying it because it's oil, and you don't even know. You don't know the connection between a company losing stock value, stock price, and losing investors because of this. And my thinking is that, you're right. It's an oil company.
Yeah. See, the whole thing about it is an oil company. Everybody want to be a part of it.
Yeah, man, but don't you listen, man. He said it's losing value.
I know it loses. What? So what, man?
So what? People are getting real upset with these guys. It was like the Exxon Valdez, although I imagine the Exxon, you know, Exxon right now is, how much are they worth? They're probably, God almighty, they must have, you know, fourpled or fipled their share. All right, and then one other email that we have here. This is from Alexander. He says, Phil, you're a man among men. I've been a hardcore Stern Bubba fan for many years, and that's good, man. Those are good guys. My brother used to listen to you years back, and I would catch a few minutes here and there. I ran across a Herb Sewell bit, and I fell out of my damn chair for laughing. After hearing the bit, I went and got the backstage pass, and I can't stop listening. My Sirius radio has been treated like a redheaded stepchild ever since. All right. Although Bubba and Howard...
Yeah, I was going to say, Bubba and Howard, listen to them.
Keep listening to them, man, but the rest of... What's on that channel anyway? 877-876-PHIL. And as we mentioned, we got Doug Danger coming up next hour. Here are 50 bizarre U.S. laws, and this is an article written for the Real Girls Media Network by Amy Tucker Morgan. Real Girls Media Network.
Are these that a girl go to jail for?
I don't know. It says 50 bizarre U.S. laws. In Alabama, it's illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter. Now, hold on for a minute. Just for a minute.
Yeah, well, that would make sense about that.
You want a girl to wear one.
It ain't got nothing to do with girls. Hold on. I want to make sure. These things are still in the book. 50 bizarre U.S. laws. A popular online destination for lifestyle and entertainment news. Every state in this country has at least one wacky legal stipulation that could land residents in hot water if you don't comply. Though these laws seldom, if ever, are enforced, they remain on the books, and you can technically be punished if you violate them. So I'm suspecting that these are old laws, antiquated laws, maybe even from the 19th century, that remain on the books. It's always fun to kind of, you know, look these up.
Did you say something about a jackrabbit one time?
There used to be a law on the books in Los Angeles that you couldn't shoot a jackrabbit from a moving trolley car. Back when L.A. had trolley cars and jackrabbits were running around downtown.
What about that football game you seen?
I did. I saw a football game, a Canadian Football League game, where a jackrabbit got loose on a field. Anyway.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. This jackrabbit was running around. Anyway, here it is. Alabama. It's illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. In Alaska, whispering in someone's ear while he's moose hunting is prohibited. In Arizona, cutting down a cactus may earn you a 25-year prison term. What? That must be something having to do with the environment. In Arkansas, it's illegal to mispronounce the name of the state of Arkansas.
Yeah, see, you'd go to jail on account of that.
Yeah, but it's a joke.
Yeah, but how do they know it'd be a joke if they put you in jail?
I bet you got to do it a bunch of times, right?
Arkansas. See, they won't even touch you or anything.
Away from me, man. Don't lean on me. In California, you may not eat an orange in your bathtub. What? In Colorado, it's unlawful to lend your vacuum cleaner to your next-door neighbor. That's in Denver, actually. It's a city ordinance. Can't lend your... You know, and here's the thing about that. I'll bet you this is part of a larger law.
I was going to say, man, that's impossible that them law, that that's a law. There's got to be like a more to it.
Why?
Well, why would they make it illegal for you to eat an orange in a bathtub?
I don't know, on account of the way that it had been back then. In the old days, it might have been dangerous.
What's dangerous about eating an orange in a bathtub, even if it is the 19th century?
It might have had something to do with how you were talking about killing jackrabbits.
What, some guy going to shoot the orange out of your mouth?
No.
Yeah, that's a good one, man.
Anyway, in Connecticut, a pickle cannot actually be a pickle unless it bounces. Oh, get out of here.
What?
This has got to be horse dung. In Delaware, it's illegal to get married on a dare, and in Washington, D.C., that would be a city law. It's against the law to post a public notice calling someone a coward for refusing to accept a challenge to a duel. Well, that's an interesting law, because that goes back to the days of dueling. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Still to come here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we have Doug Danger coming up to talk about Helen Thomas and the possible reasons for her retirement. And the 10 most stressful jobs of 2010 on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And Doug Danger coming up next hour. Helen Thomas. Doug's got a theory about why it is that she retired. And if, in fact, she did retire, everybody has got conspiracies on the brain now. You know, just like that guy last hour talking about that poor little girl. We're going to keep an eye on that story because it's obviously something that is going to have a resolution. We're hopeful is a good resolution on that little girl, Abby Sunderland. But that guy coming on with that whole thing about, what was he saying?
I thought it was going to be like Balloon Boy or something.
What is a balloon? What is that?
You don't remember Balloon Boy?
Well, yeah, oh, okay. You mean when a balloon ran away?
Yeah, that balloon running away on everybody. And they thought, I knew right off, you know, it's the funniest thing because everyone seemed to know that it was bullcrap within, say, oh, I don't know, maybe an hour of it happening. Because when you saw the video of the family suddenly panicking, and you ask yourself, okay, first of all, that doesn't look like they're really panicking. Secondly, it appears that there's a camera rolling, obviously. Why is it that all of a sudden a camera just happens to be rolling as the balloon takes off? And so, within a half an hour, man, there were people all over the internet talking about, boy, this guy is going to burn down for this, man. This is not real at all. So, that is not the case with this girl.
Well, how do you know? How do you know? Because if you, for instance, if
trust me, bud, it ain't for real. It is for real. Nobody's going to fake somebody being, you know, someone having a problem like their mast snapping in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, but what if they plan it like that?
I just got done telling you, man.
How are you going to plan that, man, 30-foot sea?
The what?
How are you going to plan in a 30-foot sea?
I know what you mean.
30-foot high waves. Huh? 30-foot high waves.
All the better.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. The last thing they found out was that that beacon was working. That beacon was working, and that beacon is attached not only to the craft itself, but also to a suit worn by the sailor, in this case, Abby Sunderland. And they were both working, and that the craft itself, I guess, was still occupied, although it seemed to be drifting at about a mile an hour. They said 1 mile or one knot. So that's the story. We'll take a look at it. 877-876-PHIL. The Taliban apparently has executed a 7-year-old boy for spying. Suspected Taliban militants have executed a 7-year-old boy, accusing him of spying for the government, according to officials in southern Afghanistan on Thursday. The execution took place Tuesday in the Sangin district of Helmand province. According to Dawood Ahmadi, who is the provincial governor's spokesman, the boy was hung from a tree. Oh, my God. And shot to death. In the past, militants have carried out similar killings of those accused of spying. See, this is like the Dark Ages. This is not even modern. These are not modern people. This is not modern times. This is what's running the world in that part of the world. 3 years ago, a 70-year-old woman and a child in the Musa Qala district of the province were executed following the same allegations. During a news conference on Thursday, Afghan President Hamid Karzai said officials were looking into reports of the execution and said he condemned the act if it is confirmed to be true. I think this is President Karzai talking about this. It's a horrible, horrible story. Here is President Karzai weighing in on the execution of this kid during a press conference.
7-year-old boy cannot be a spy. A 7-year-old boy cannot be anything but a 7-year-old boy. And therefore, hanging or shooting to kill a 7-year-old boy, regardless of whatever reason one would give for it, is a crime against humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what happens to people who commit crimes against humanity? They go in front of the old days, they went in front of the military tribunal at Nuremberg. Now they go in front of The Hague. They are judged and then they are duly punished. And that's what should happen to these people in Afghanistan. Now, I hate to bring up bad news, and it is bad news for a lot of people, but that's where the people from Al-Qaeda were stationed. That's where they had their training. That's where they were given protection, aid, and comfort by the Taliban. That was it. And then they launched this attack against New York. How is it people can say, as I've seen and heard in recent days, you know, this thing in Afghanistan, I mean, what's the point? How do people say that? What kind of a country is this, man? We're suddenly saying, oh, like, you know, it's a wash, man. 3,000 people. 3,000 people on our own shore, plus God knows what in terms of property damage. But let's forget about that, okay? Forget the two enormous structures that housed businesses and that it was a place where people went to work. It was a part of New York that is cannot be replaced. Let's forget that thing got destroyed. Let's just talk about the 3,000 people. If you'll pardon me, Schuster, by the way.
That's the guy who said it's like less than 3,000.
Yeah, David Schuster over at MSNBC or wherever it is you're living these days. I think they pulled him off the air because you did a pilot for CNN. CNN don't need any more froggy sounding guys, man. They already got enough of them, okay? They got Wolf. So anyway, Froggy said that less than 3,000. How dare they say 3,000? This is the kind of chicken crap that some of these guys get involved in, man. This is exactly, you know, this is what they're wrapping their shows around, this stuff. So we'll call it 3,000 if you'll, you know, pardon me. So that happened, and I don't know what country I'm living in when people openly discuss whether it's worth it going after the people that did it. Or maybe we ought to just call it a wash and call it a day and what? Do what, man? Work on kissing their ass? The worst thing that happened, and I don't blame President Obama so much as the people that voted for him, including myself, if you want to get right down to it, because the more I see of the president and what he is doing in terms of international relations, I don't have a beef with him in terms of the domestic scene. I see a lot of blame. You know, as they say, there's plenty of it to go around, you know?
Yeah, well, you're talking about BP being bad and everything. I want to buy the stock.
I don't give a crap if you're buying stock.
Yeah, but you said it's a good buy.
It may be a good buy, but I'm going to tell you right now, British Petroleum, at the epicenter of the problem in the Gulf, is a private company. At the epicenter of the problem with the Exxon Valdez was a private company. And if you want more government regulation, do you know what? All you got to do is have a private company screw up, man.
Yeah, that's true, man.
What are you talking about? Their stock price is going to come back.
But I ain't talking about their stock price, you knucklehead.
Hey, man, he's back.
Well, he's an idiot.
What do you... You said that...
Will you listen to me? I'm talking about their stock price. I'm talking about at the epicenter of every incident that eventually prompts more... Here's the law. Everybody's talking about this. The Exxon Valdez. The federal government is in charge of cleaning up the oil. And every conservative that I listen to says that the federal government and Obama and the federal government and Obama, right? Well, guess what? You wouldn't have that law, man, if it hadn't been for Exxon and their drunk captain. So what is it, man? Are these conservatives, do they like more federal government regulation? Do they want less? Have they got the guts to take a look at why there's this? If you talk about federal regulation and federal law and the impingement or the infringement of all of this on private business, here's two glaring examples of why we have what we have, and we'll probably have more laws now. Thank you very much, BP. If I were a conservative, I'd be pissed off at British Petroleum more than Obama. These guys are these cats kill me, man, you know?
Yeah, well, they're talking about cleaning it up, man, but what about the thing that first thought,
spit it out, Porky, will you?
Right. Easy.
Talking about the thing that caused in the first place.
Right. You're right. These guys that go on and on about Obama didn't respond, what they're doing is they're hiding behind that argument because the larger issue... It's like Godzilla waiting to just chew their ass up. The larger issue is a private company doing business in an unsafe manner, in a reckless manner, in a sloppy manner, in an inefficient and inept way that costs the lives of human beings and is now causing untold damage to the Gulf of Mexico. British Petroleum. Now, if you can't face up to that, you can't suck on that one, you know.
You can't say suck.
Hey, bud, I know what I'm talking about, okay? Can't say suck. BP sucks. You can't face up to that one. If everything is about how, well, yeah, I know, but, yeah, I know, but, yeah, I know, but, yeah, I know, but, you better wait and see, man. If you don't like bigger government, you just bought a whole new round of government regulations that will haunt the oil industry forever. Thank you, British Petroleum. I don't like it any more than a lot of people like it. But, man, I got to waste my time playing this ideologic game, holding on to ideology, man, like you're holding on to your mama's skirt, playing that ball game while the real problem is the oil company.
But you still would buy the stock.
But I'd still buy their stock, yeah. 877-876-PHIL here. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back with Doug Dagher later on.
Phil Hendry.
Talking about Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. You and I are talking about news?
Yeah.
All right. I was just talking to Rance. He says, how about that Saudi clerics advocating adult breastfeeding? That's nuts.
Let me see that.
Take it out of my hands, man.
Yeah, but I want to see it. Do they show?
Yeah, they show me the boob.
I can't believe you guys, man.
What?
I'm talking about a story, and you want to see if there's boob.
Well, they talk about breastfeed.
No, does he see any boob? See? There's none there. Saudi clerics advocate adult breastfeeding. Now, I'm going to read this story to you, but this is something everybody listening should do. You have to ask yourself, more and more, you have to ask yourself, what is this person who wrote this story, what did they leave out, or what phony information did they include so their story would get picked up? If you are a writer, you're a reporter, and you need to sell your work, don't you? You need to have someone publish it.
Yeah.
And you find that if you can skew a story a certain way, you're going to get a lot more of your stories published. Wouldn't you change the information a little bit?
I might leave out some stuff and make it look one way instead of the other.
Exactly. So that's what everybody listening to me should do every time you read something. Ask yourself this. What did this writer do to this story? What did this writer do with the facts? What did this writer do with the information to change it so they could get it picked up and published by AOL News, which is, like, pretty pathetic, man, when you're having to, you know, contort your reporting so AOL picks it up. But anyway, having said that, here's the story. Women in Saudi Arabia should give their breast milk to male colleagues and acquaintances in order to avoid breaking strict Islamic law forbidding mixing between the sexes, two powerful Saudi clerics have said, issuing a fatwa. They are at odds, however, over precisely how the milk should be conveyed. One suggests the breast milk should be presented in a glass for a man to drink. Another would have the man suckle the milk directly from the breast of the woman. Sheikh Al Obakan, an advisor to the royal court and consultant to the Ministry of Justice.
That's like Star Wars.
I was going to say, yeah.
What is?
Obi, or Obi-Con. I know you didn't say Obi-Con.
Get out of here. Obi-Wan Kenobi?
It sounded like it.
Sheikh Al Obakan.
It does.
Okay, so what? Does that mean you got to interrupt me?
I think you need to point that out. I mean, it's obvious to everybody.
Everybody listening, when I said Sheikh Al Obakan, was thinking Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I think it's possible, and if that's where you got to use your sense, you know what I mean? You got to use the sense. Okay, wow, I just said Obakan, maybe everybody think Obi-Wan Kenobi, I better stop down and make note of it.
Yeah, at least acknowledge it.
You nuts.
No, man.
Okay, hey, Sheikh Al Obakan. Oh, I know that probably sounds like Obi-Wan Kenobi, so let me just acknowledge it.
Yeah, perfect. But don't pause.
I know what I'm doing, okay? An advisor to the royal court and consultant of the Ministry of Justice set off a firestorm of controversy recently when he said on TV that women who come into regular contact with men who aren't related to them ought to give them their breast milk so they'll be considered relatives.
I don't understand. Are you saying if you have contact with a man, you are run afoul of Islamic law, so you've got to be a relative of his?
Right. And in order to make him a relative, give him your breast milk.
And you can do that either by drinking it out of glass or to suckle it. What do you laugh about?
The way you said that word, man.
Suckle it. Yes, you're right. I mean, technically, you're right. It's very good, bud.
That's what it said.
All right, so Al Obakan, who made the statement after being asked on TV about a 2007 fatwa issued, and yes, you can say that word on the air, bud.
All right.
A 2007 fatwa issued by an Egyptian scholar about adult breastfeeding said that the breast milk ought to be pumped out and given to men in a glass. But his remarks were followed by an announcement by another high-profile jackball by the name of Abi Ishaq Al-Huwiwi. I don't know. How do you pronounce that?
Let me see.
I can't read that.
It's Abi Ishaq Al-Huwiwi. Weenie.
Yeah, I think it's Weenie.
Weenie? What do you mean, Weenie?
It's Abi Al-Weenie.
Yeah.
Sheikh Abi Al-Weenie. It says Ishaq Al-Huwiwi.
Well...
Anyway, who said that the men should suckle the breast milk directly from a woman's breast? I haven't heard that word suckle.
Well, that's what they used to say, you suckle, you know, in the 19th century.
Yeah, like when you say a man, if the football team suckle.
What are you talking about? You talking about they actually said that?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Yeah. If a guy said, your team suckle, it suckles.
In when? The 19th century?
Yeah, because it's an old word. Like, if you said to a guy, you suck, you say you suck. But back then, you say you suckle.
Where are you guys reading that bullcrap?
It stands to reason on account of the word being old.
You suckle.
Yeah, as opposed to you suck.
Like, you know, if Cornell player, like the football game, Notre Dame and USC, Notre Dame suckle, or suckles.
I ain't buying that. I ain't buying that. You show me the source, I'll believe you, okay?
I know it's around here somewhere.
You know what? You guys are lying.
But if it's an old word, they would.
Notre Dame suckles. Shortly after two sheikhs weighed in on the matter, a bus driver in the country's eastern region reportedly told one of the female teachers whom he drives regularly that he wanted to suckle milk from her breast.
That's fantastic! Man, that's... Talk about easy, man. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I hope you've seen the fatwa. You understand? I must suckle milk from your breast. What a part of the world. What kind of a madhouse is that over there anyway? I'm serious. This is when religion takes over the mores and the norms and the rituals and the behaviors of a society. You get insanity. You get sheer insanity, man.
Yeah, but if he demanded for the suckling.
Yeah. He's going to go in front of the whatever they got over there, where they got some kind of religious court.
Probably, yeah.
I demanded the suckling, and she refused me. Shortly after, he's threatened to file a lawsuit. Oh, no, the teacher's threatened to file a lawsuit against him. The fatwa stems from the tenets of the strict Wahhabi version of Islam. No, that ain't the mustard, okay?
Well, what is it?
The mustard's called wasabi. Are you an idiot or something?
I told him that, man.
Wahhabi. The Wahhabi version of Islam that governs modern Saudi Arabia and forbids women from mixing with men who are not relatives. They're also not allowed to vote, drive, or even leave the country without the consent of a male guardian. This is a crazy world, man, where you go up to a woman who may not be your wife. You may not even know her. And you demand to suckle milk from her breast so that you can be related. Under Islamic law, women are encouraged to breastfeed their children until the age of two. It's not uncommon for sisters, for example, to breastfeed their nephews so they and their daughters will not have to cover their faces in front of them in later life. Is this in Saudi Arabia?
See, that's the thing. I thought it was like Afghanistan or something.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, man. Now this is Saudi Arabia. This ain't the stand.
Yeah, I thought it was the stand.
But under Islamic law, breast milk siblings have to be breastfed before the age of two in five fulfilling sessions. Islam prohibits sexual relations between a man and any woman who breastfed him in infancy. Isn't that great? That's fantastic. I'm glad to know that, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. That means, in other words, you can't have sex with your own son.
Well, I mean, if you breastfed you married a man, but at one time he suckled. You know.
He suckled what? What are you guys? Don't get into these words, okay?
Well, you can't marry him, though.
You guys are idiots. You know, you're taking all this crap too seriously.
I'm just trying to think. If I lived there.
If you lived there, here's what you'd do. You'd get out of there. That's what you'd do. You'd get a... You'd emigrate, man.
But what if I... How do you know who to marry?
If you want to marry somebody, marry them in the United States. Marry them in the Western civilized world, not down there. And when would you ever have suckled milk from a woman's breast that you're going to marry?
I don't know. Well, maybe.
Well, all right. Never. I don't even want to get into this stuff. It gets pretty weird. Of course, I am getting very heavy into it. Unlawful mixing between the sexes is taken very seriously in Saudi Arabia. Oh, well, of course. My goodness gracious. Because of your Muslim law there in Saudi Arabia, you guys are just the jewel of the world, aren't you? You're fantastic. I mean, the whole world looks to Saudi Arabia for its marvelous invention and its innovation, its innovations in law and its innovations in science. And goodness gracious, every day there's a new thing coming out of Saudi Arabia, how progressive and fantastic that country is. And why? Because they have laws that prohibit men from suckling milk from their own sister. One of the two men in the house, Fahd, which you can say that on the air too.
All right.
What are you doing? You're writing them down?
Yeah, he's writing all these words down you can say. He thought you couldn't say fatwa.
All I'm doing is writing it down on account of Mr. Hall.
If you're on the phone talking to him, I swear to God, I'm going to swing on you.
I got to let him know.
One of the two men found in the house, Fahd, told the police that Sawadi breastfed him as a baby, so he was considered a son and had a right to be there. But in a later court ruling, a judge said it could not be proved that Fahd was her breast milk son. Fahd was sentenced to 4 months in prison and 40 lashes, and the man who accompanied him got 6 months and 60 lashes. Mr. Christian? The original adult breastfeeding fatwa was issued 3 years ago by an Egyptian scholar at Egypt's Al-Azhar University, considered Sunni Islam's top university. Are you kidding? You got to go to school to learn this crap? I'm sorry, but I got every right in the world. I mean, we criticize Christianity. We criticize all kinds of religions. And if we lose the right to point out asinine stuff about religion, like, for instance, being Jewish and not being able to enjoy a nice, healthy Jimmy Dean sausage.
Uh-oh.
All right, we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Still to come, of course, is Doug Dangert. If David Hall calls, tell him I'm out, okay? Lawmakers to ban murderabilia, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And we have some very, very good news. We have very good news. We just received this update from Rance at our Mission Control. And Rance tells me, Rance got it from Reuters, but I'm giving you the credit, Rance. A family spokesman says searchers have contacted teen solo sailor Abby Sunderland, and she is alive and she is well in the Indian Ocean.
That's the relief there.
That is a big relief. That's fantastic. So they have contacted her, and they're almost right on target because it was going to be around 11 o'clock Pacific, I think. It was actually between 10 and 11 Pacific. It's 11:49, 2:49 on the East Coast right now. So they were almost within that window where they felt they would make contact with her if she was where they thought she would be. But the latest that we have is that a family spokesman has told Reuters News that searchers have contacted Abby Sunderland, and she is alive and she is well in the Indian Ocean. And we'll give you some details when we get them as to whether they found her on board the sailboat. Was she in the life raft? She's a tough little chick, and we're very happy. David G. Hall is joining us, and I understand, Mr. Hall, you also have Rich Butler.
Well, I've got Rich Butler on the phone, and I'm going to put him on the other line. Rich, as you know, folks, was the gentleman that was on the air with Mr. Hendry in the first hour saying that he had hoped Abby Sunderland, would not make it around the world and that her boat would sink after being on your show and saying that he had hoped she would drown. And
yes, but he apologized for that.
He apologized for that on your program this evening.
Absolutely, he apologized because it was a brutal thing to say.
Well, I've got him on the other line, and let me connect. Mr. Butler, it's David G. Hall.
Yes, sir.
And I got Phil Hendry here.
Hi, Phil. It's Rich Butler. I was on your program earlier this evening.
Yes.
I am gratified to hear about the rescue of Abby Sunderland, and I am very happy for her family. I'm very happy for her friends. But I can now say to you and your audience that I was lying this evening, that I did hope she would drown. and that I don't believe you gave me a fair...
No, hold on for a minute.
Look, to let the guy finish, will you, Phil? Because I knew you'd butt in. Familiar with his neck. I'm familiar with Mr. Henry here.
Hey, thanks for backing me up, David.
Let the guy say what he's going to say. I was on your program earlier this evening, and I had been bullied into retracting a very honestly heartfelt statement that I had hoped Abby Sunderland would drown and that the body would never be found. And in point of fact, I believe I also said I hoped she'd drown. The body wouldn't be found because it would be rendered by shark.
Oh, boy, man. And so now you're saying...
Hold on for a minute, will you? This guy really butts in, doesn't he? A pain in the ass, huh?
Don't talk about me like I ain't here. Go ahead.
I am simply saying that your audience, and members of your audience that I talked with, treated me, I felt, unfairly. I was called a variety of names. I was told that I was an immoral man. I was told that I was an insane man. I was told because I was a competitive man and that I was hopeful for the account with Wheaties, the Wheaties flakes, the corn flake, or however they, I don't know what kind of flake it is, the Wheaties flake, you know, the one that I'm talking about.
Wheaties, yeah.
That I would get that account. Now that she's been found safely, I can say that I had really hoped she'd drown so that I would be able to go around the world. Now, Phil, the reason why I've got him on the air is you know as well as I do that while I appreciate your sensitivity to your audience, if there's one thing that I can't stand, it's liars. You forced this man to lie.
How did I force him to lie?
Because you brought him back on. You got a lot of complaint mail from people, didn't you?
I got emails, yeah. So in other words, when I brought those emails to you and I said, look at all the negative emails we got on this guy, Rich Butler, and I told you that this guy was going to come back on the show, you didn't have a problem with that.
I didn't know you were going to make the guy lie.
I didn't tell the guy to lie.
Talk about somebody who's not there, or talk about someone who, like, they're not there. Or, I mean, you're talking about someone, that's me, who went, hold on for a minute, will you, Mr. Butler? I told you that you could read those emails, and I certainly said you could have the guy back on the air. I didn't know what he was going to say. I didn't know that he was going to say that he was kidding.
Hold on. We got an update here.
What update?
On this Abby Sunderland.
Wait a minute. I got a few.
I don't care what you got to say. Hold on. Spokesman Willie Bennett said Team Abby on Thursday said that searchers aboard an Airbus A300 spotted Abby's boat in an upright position, and they made contact with her via radio. Bennett said Sunderland said she was doing fine, and she had plenty of food. So I'm assuming then that was her sailboat. William Bennett again said that Team Abby, William Bennett, who is with Team Abby, I should say, said on Thursday that searchers aboard an Airbus A330 spotted Abby's boat in an upright position and made contact with her via radio. Bennett said Sunderland told him that she was doing fine. She had plenty of food. There is a fishing vessel en route to pick her up.
Well, there may be hope then for...
Maybe, you know what, if you open your mouth one more second here, Mr. Butler, I'm going to hang up on you.
Why would you hang up on him?
There may be hope for what?
Well, a fishing vessel... No, I don't want anything to happen. A fishing vessel is going to pick her up. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
How do you know they're not pirates? That's a good point.
Pirates, huh?
You know, Phil, I know that they're not... Who are they? A fishing vessel. It's not a rescue vessel. It's a fishing vessel. There's a lot of piracy in those waters. That's... I at this point, Phil, I'm glad she's safe. The round-the-world trip has been ended. I can commence mine in August. I won't look like a bad guy because I am sailing around the world with the corpse of a dead teenager strapped to the bow of my ship.
Okay, that's it.
Don't hang up on it. Come on, Henry.
Unbelievable.
Boy, you hung up on Mr. Hall. He's going to be very mad about it.
Dude, do I look like I care?
You don't look like you care, man.
Yeah. Do I look like I care, bud?
Not really, no.
Okay. Sail around the world with the corpse of a dead teenager strapped to my bow.
Well, in a lot of ways it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's right. Well, we're very happy to hear that she's okay. What does he want now?
Mr. Hall insists to be on the air. He said he insists and will not take no for an answer.
He won't take no for an answer.
Listen, I'm just gonna say this one thing. Consider yourself very lucky that they found that child, because with this guy coming on the air saying that he wished she'd drown, if they had found that child dead, brother, there wouldn't be anything I could do for you.
there wouldn't be anything I could do for you. I'd have to watch the mob tear you limb from limb. They'd rip you apart brick by brick. No comment, huh?
Thank you.
They'd take you apart.
Okay, so anyway, that's the word we have. There was a fishing vessel en route to pick up Abby Sunderland. And I suppose that means that her attempted transnavigation, the global navigation, the circumnavigation of the Earth in her sailboat, that is, at least for this year, that is going to be put off. But she's all right. She's got food. She's doing fine. And I suspect with the drifting, at least that's what they thought they were getting as an indication, only a mile an hour, that perhaps she lost the mast of her sailboat. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger next, 877-876-PHIL.
Don't you hang up on me.
Phil Hendry.